Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Emúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas en los diferentes.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters in different countries. Today, Friday, December 6th of this year 2024, our subject is God's Program, preached on September 27, 2001 in Santiago, Chile. He read to us the scripture of the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 13 and on. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and on, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how they build it thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." God's Program. You may please be seated. Tells us in the message, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist which was preached on May 8, 2011 here in Calle, Puerto Rico. Now notice, before we turn there to that subject, in a writing, he left us there. Notice, it says, the symbols of the prophecies are like in a blueprint, the lines and drawings. There in between, he also writes, "and people in whom it is reflected and glimmers is the mirror that reflects what is real, which exists and will come, which exists and will come." That is what is in between. I'll read it again from the top. The symbols of the prophecies are like a blueprint, the lines and drawings which represent the different things that will be built. It is the type and figure, it is the shadow, it is the anticipation, it is what foreruns, in which there is a glimmer of what is to come. Now notice on this message, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, "Therefore, we will be on the side of what God has promised, working in favor of the project that God has promised to carry out at this end time. We're not going to take sides with those who will be against, because we would place ourselves in the position of all those who risen against the program of God in all times." Also in another writing around here, he left us here on a notebook. He writes, this was on a study. In a study, rather. There he writes, divisions interrupt the divine program. That is how it was in the time of Moses, of Joshua, of the judges, of the prophets, of Jesus, of the apostles, and of the seven angels of the seven ages. And that is how it is today. And he draws a cornerstone. So notice that at all times, and in every program that God carried out in each age and in each dispensation, there were always divisions. Now notice, hear what he continues to say, those who stand against a divine promise when everything is being prepared for it to become a reality, or when that promise is being fulfilled, those who rise against it or have risen against it are placed in the type and figure of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, who rose against Moses, and they are also placed in the type and figure of Judas Iscariot. Therefore, we do not want anything to do with those people, but rather to be with those that are in favor of working in what God has promised to carry out for it to become a reality, because God works through His church. The members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are the instruments of God for God to use them to carry out the program He has from stage to stage in the midst of His church and in the midst of the planet Earth. In the book of Quotations, on page 171, from paragraph 1537, there he tells us, you must choose your leader. Choose today. You choose life or death. And to the right he writes, leader, Holy Spirit. Your choice will determine your eternal destination. What you choose, see? What you choose, remember. Jesus said, follow me. And you're invited tonight to do so. And to follow him to eternal life, you must come on his terms. That's right. The word. And there to the left, he draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And to the right, he also draws another cornerstone in the ages and a line towards the cornerstone. Not upon the creed, not upon the public opinion, not upon what anybody else thinks about it, but on what God said about it. And above he writes, to follow God, follow Christ, you have to come on God's terms, on the terms of His word, of His program. Now, notice, he continues to say here, those who will be hand on hand in favor of the divine program promised for the day in which the person lives are taking sides with the Spirit of God and are working with the Spirit of God in whatever the Spirit of God is carrying out through the different instruments that He has at each time. That's how it will be in this end time, and for God's program pertaining to this end time. And those who will be against the program of God, whom will rise against it to criticize it and to try to prevent it from being fulfilled, well, they will be connected with the Spirit of the Antichrist. As simple as that. Those two spirits move, and the spirit of the Antichrist is against the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God. And he always tries to destroy the work of God, the program of God, that he has promised for each time. He who is of God hears God's voice. He who isn't of God, well, he doesn't hear the voice of God. Instead, he hears the voice of the spirit of the Antichrist. Now notice in the writing here, behind a study, he writes to us, the person who does not know the time in which he lives, according to the biblical scriptures and the program of God for that time, misses God's blessings. He loses them. And he gets the divine judgment because he did not know the time of the visitation of God. Now, he continues to say here in this same message, further on he says, the things that were said by the Reverend William Branham under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the word of the fourth Elijah. And as the fourth Elijah said, that is how it's going to be fulfilled. Anyone who speaks contrary will not be speaking with the same Spirit of God that the prophet Elijah spoke with in his fourth manifestation. Micah was speaking with the same Spirit because he was speaking according to what was already prophesied. See, something was prophesied at that time. It had already been spoken, and Micah was speaking of what was already prophesied. In other words, it was according to what was already prophesied. And that's how it will also be for our time. Things will happen as they were prophesied by the Spirit of God in the prophetic ministry of Elijah for the fourth occasion. And all those who will be in agreement with what was prophesied will see that everything God spoke through the ministry of Elijah forerunning the second coming of Christ will be fulfilled that way. So, you have to see on whose side you're on, by the side of the Spirit of God or by the side of the Spirit of the Antichrist. Then the Spirit of the Antichrist will become incarnate in the man of sin at the last day, according to the prophecies, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he tells us about the man of sin who comes after the working of the wicked one. At this end time, from the times of the apostles, the spirit of the Antichrist has been on the move and causing harm among the people. But later on, it would become incarnate. Later on, would have its veil of flesh throughout time. And at the last day, it will become completely incarnate in a man. And the spirit of the Antichrist will then work, will do what is prophesied for the last day. On page 117 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1041. Notice there he tells us, our brother Branham says, God never did deal, never did at any time take any group of people to do anything. God takes an individual. You're the one, you one person. And God never changed his program, because his first program, he must always remain with that program. In the days of Noah, he had one man, Noah. The days that he brought Israel out, he had one man, that was Moses. That is, in each age and in each dispensation, God has used, and also at this end time, has used a man. Now notice in this message, titled, The Creation of a New Man, preached on February 12th, 1995. In Bogota, Colombia. And he tells us, but Jesus said to many at that time, ye are of your father the devil, and you want to fulfill the works of your father. Jesus identified them, not on the outside, because on the outside they were Abraham's seed according to the flesh. But in their spirits, they were not of God. They were of the spirit of the wicked one. And that is why they wanted to kill Jesus. Now notice in another writing, where he writes in a notebook, in the interlace of a message with another, one unites with the other. They embrace each other in divine love, although some people, individuals, fight and persecute those of the New Age and those of the new dispensation. And there also, further down, he writes, the interlaces of one messenger with another and a ministry with another. And also further down, there he writes, the interlaces of one people and territory with another. And also there, further down, he writes, the interlaces of the Hebrews with the Gentiles, of the Gentiles towards the Hebrews, with God revealed. Now, our brother William continues to say here, now Jesus said to them, you don't hear my word because you are not of God. You are of your father the devil, and you want to fulfill the works of your father. A hard word, and a hard revelation for science to understand, and even theology, because many people think that all human beings are children of God. But Jesus Christ says that that is not so. Now, notice the scripture there that he read to us. It is in the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verse 39. It says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, what they're doing there. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. There, they brought up the life of Jesus, the private life of Jesus, because they are telling him that he was a son who was born, let us say, without a father. In other words, she was found to be pregnant. They didn't even know who the father was. Why did they care of how he had come? If he was fulfilling God's program and what God prophesied through Isaiah. Notice that did not give them the right, since that was not revealed to them that he was born and conceived by the Holy Spirit. That did not give them the right to bring up his personal matters. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now notice why. Because it is to those who love his coming. There is a place where he tells us about the coming of the Lord. It is for those who love his coming. But let us finish here. It says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you conceiveth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why did you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's a hard word. For all those leaders out there. Now let us see in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, in the first coming is to those who love His coming or loved His coming, and in His second coming as well. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say here, and if that is not the case, according to the words of Jesus of Nazareth, then we have to be realistic people and recognize that there are children of God on earth and there are also children of the wicked one, of the devil. And thus to be able to understand why throughout the history of the human race there have been so many problems, so many wars, so many enmity, so many suffering, and why they rejected Christ. And why we find out that they called the Son of God the Prince of Peace, they called Him the Prince of Devil. But those people who were saying that, notice, were casting upon Jesus what they were. They were trying to say that Jesus was not the Son of God, that Jesus was of the devil, and that by the power of the wicked one is that He did those signs. They were saying that the spirit that was in Jesus working those miracles was of the devil, Beelzebub. But it was the Spirit of God. It was the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit in human flesh, doing all those things. It was on an occasion when Jesus told them, all manners of sin is forgiven unto men. All manner of blasphemy and sin committed against the Son of Man, everything they'll say against the Son of Man shall be forgiven unto them. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not forgiven unto them. Blasphemy against the Spirit that was in Him. They could speak badly of the man. It is what we were saying recently. You can speak illness of me, but to speak badly of the work that God is carrying out, which is the one who is inside me, that is a blasphemy, because the Holy Spirit is the one that is carrying out the work. They could speak evil of the man, but to speak evil of the Holy Spirit who was in the man, fulfilling all those promises, that was blasphemy, not against the man, but against the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that what displeased the Holy Spirit back then, when Maida slammed the door on Brother Branham? It wasn't to the man. He didn't hold that against Maida, which we always say that we love that family, the ones who are still alive and those who are in the sixth dimension. We love them and all the believers in the message of Brother Branham. But notice, all of that was a teaching, everything that represented in the divine program. Now notice, just like Brother Branham forgave Joseph what he did, there is a writing around there in the message where he says that, and also in a study, where he says that Joseph went to his dad and asked him for forgiveness. He went repented. But notice that maybe Maida didn't hear that. She didn't hear that conversation between Joseph and his father. She didn't hear that repentance nor the forgiveness. But notice that later on, he also forgave her. And then we see that the Holy Spirit also worked in her favor and healed her. Now he continues to say, he said these things so that every person controls his tongue and doesn't speak against the work of God, whether it is because they don't understand it or because they think it's of the devil. See, he doesn't give a person the right, just because not understanding something and thinking it is of the devil, to talk. The recommendation there is to keep quiet and that it's best not to say anything. He said these things so that every person controls his tongue and doesn't speak against the work of God, whether because he understands it or because he thinks it's of the devil. The evidence that we have of a work being of God is the Word of God. If through the veil of flesh, where that Spirit is doing those works, He is fulfilling what is promised for that time, that is the Spirit of God which has come to fulfill His promise, which He spoke to us in the book of the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verse 28, where He tells us, then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. Notice how simple. Now he goes on to say, and every person must stay silent, and not start to speak against the spirit that is carrying out those works through the veil of flesh that he is using. Because to blaspheme against that spirit that is in him is unpardonable blasphemy or unpardonable sin. The only sin that the Lord says that will not be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the world to come, that is in the glorious millennial kingdom. So, every person before speaking, before giving his opinion, every person should know the Bible and the promises that are made for the time in which he is living, so that he doesn't make the gravest mistake of his life, and then doesn't have the opportunity to repent, like what happened to some people in the past, who later, crying, came and wanted an opportunity, but they couldn't. When the Spirit of God, in the work of God that he's doing, is identified in the Scripture and by the Scripture, every person must be reverent to that Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit, in his manifestation, because there are no games nor excuses with God. One has to face the reality of the program of God, which belongs to the time in which one lives. The Spirit of God has been manifested in each time, and at this end time, we find that he sent a forerunner. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, was manifested in him. And to blaspheme against that spirit that was inside him, carrying out those works, was to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. To blaspheme against that spirit that was in him, to say that the spirit he did those things with, those miracles, and brought that revelation, to say that it was of the devil, to say that the Holy Spirit that was in him was a spirit of the devil, that was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then, at the end of time, once again we have the promise that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself again. That is on page 154. That is why he says, this Holy Spirit that we have right now. Now notice, if back then it was not forgiven unto every person who blasphemed against Brother Branham, seemingly it was against him, but it was against the Holy Spirit. He was not forgiven. How much more when that Holy Spirit would come in human flesh? It says, then at the end of time, again we have the promise that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself again, and that an angel messenger will come with the seal of the living God. Revelation chapter 7. An angel messenger with the Holy Spirit, for Christ in Holy Spirit, to fulfill each promise he has made for the end time. Everyone must be careful, because to say that the Holy Spirit, which is operating in the angel with the seal of the living God, calling and gathering together the elect with the great voice of the trumpet, to say that it is an evil spirit, a spirit of the devil, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which comes at the end time in the angel that ascends from the east, which comes in the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice on this writing, also, which he left for us here. Let us see where I put it here. Where he tells us in a notebook where he writes the book of the seven seals in the right hand of God is being gradually fulfilled. Then it comes forth. It is gradually revealed to the people. The revelation of each seal is fulfilled progressively. The revelation of the seventh seal is progressive. And the program that it carries out is progressive. Now, if it is in a progressive way, then it is from the birth, which notice there on page 549 of the Book of the Seals, where our Brother Branham shows us what that seventh seal is, which is that angel of Revelation chapter 10, which That seventh seal was opened in Revelation chapter 8. And we see that in Revelation chapter 10, that book is taken. It is opened in heaven and it is given to a man. And notice in Revelation 11, he is already carrying out that work. He is already speaking, prophesying before people, nations, and tongues. Now that is the same angel of Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, of which is the mystery that is being opened to the church bride at this end time. Notice it tells us on page 549, it says, you notice now for the end of time message, this seal, that is the seventh seal. After all, he has revealed all the six seals, but he don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible, before knowing that. And remember Revelation 10:1-7, 1-7, chapter 10:1-7, at the end of the seventh angel message, all the mysteries of God would be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now, how did I know? The other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humbled, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about. And now I see it. It is in such a humble way. Now notice on this book is where he writes there, 1963 and 1974. In other words, where it says, the end time seal when it starts. Now, if the end time seal is the seventh seal, when it begins, how did the seventh seal begin? In the first coming of the Lord? With the birth of Jesus. And there he puts 1963, because there, in that constellation of angels, appeared that angel who was different from the rest who had the seventh seal. But he had not manifested himself in flesh yet. Therefore, the beginning of the seventh seal in flesh was in 1974. In 1963, it was manifested in the sky as the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. As simple as that. That is why those are two very important dates. On one, he appears to the seventh angel messenger. He was the one who lifted him up into that constellation, into that dimension. That is, God allowed it to be seen in this dimension, but what they saw was a cloud. But notice, it is like when he spoke to Moses, what was heard was thunders, but they were allowed to hear in this dimension. It is like when Jesus also spoke and a thunder or something was heard. Notice, the human being perhaps heard in a certain way here in this dimension, but the person, the prophet, heard it there in that dimension. And he heard it the way that he had to hear it. And he could understand it. And back then we also see that face formed by those angels there. But his countenance was not seen like that, like his face. And let us say you could identify him. What could be seen in this dimension was clouds. Angels forming the face, the hair, the beard, and the face of Jesus. Now, the seventh seal appeared there. Notice, above, in that dimension, being visible in this dimension. And him carrying out the fulfillment, the beginning of the seventh seal on earth. Well, that is his birth. And then, later that instrument was born, where that angel became incarnate. Now, how did I know? The other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what he really was talking about. And now I see it. It is in such a humble way, you would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. But it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of the Lord in a stable. See, how does it come? Like the birth. In other words, the beginning, as we read yesterday in the morning's chat with the workers, where that portion he said that the beginning of the seventh seal was since the birth of Jesus. In other words, the seventh seal in his first coming. That is the beginning of the seventh seal, when he's born, at the end, on the cross. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God, so help me, the hour is at hand. Amen. We are here, oh my. Now, our brother William continues to say here, that is why it's so important for everyone to know the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. They testified of Christ in his first coming. And the Spirit that was in Christ fulfilled everything that was given by the Spirit of God and were written. That is, he fulfilled what he had to fulfill in his first coming. Such are the attributes of God, the sons and daughters of God. They carry out the work pertaining to the time in which they live. But notice in today's message, he tells us there that there are also things that were not in God's attribute, but they were in God's program. In other words, in the thoughts that he had to carry out that work. That is on page around 16 or 17 of this message that we're going to see today, the message we will hear and see today, where he tells us there. Now, the program of God goes through different stages, and therefore, the attributes of God pertaining to each time goes through those stages. But the attributes of God are eternal. Those divine attributes, those sons and daughters of God, can't be lost. They have been written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life since before the foundation of the world. But there is another section, called the section of the Book of Life, from which names can be blotted out. He previously spoke here in this message about the scaffolds and the plywood, which are removed from a construction. He tells us about that in the beginning of the page. He tells us about that. In other words, it's something that doesn't stay there, because the scaffold may think that without him, the rest of the construction cannot be carried out. When it has fulfilled its purpose, the scaffold is taken out also with the plywood. So there is a place where he says that the building will not harm the person, but if a scaffold or a plywood falls on him, that will. Notice, there are people who carry out work in the divine program, and they can cause harm to the work, to the temple of God, to the sons and daughters of God. But a temple, a son of God, cannot harm another temple, that is, another son of God, because we are a temple of God. See, one part of the temple can't harm another part of the temple, but a scaffold, a plywood, can harm it. And that is how it is with people. Those people who harm the temple of God, which is the church bride, those are the plywood and the scaffolds. Whoever likes being plywood is plywood, and whoever wants to be scaffold is scaffold. So they are represented in that, in scaffold and plywood, as they being false things, as when you make a false floor when there is a real one that will stay there firm. There he says, but there is another section called the section of the Book of Life, from which names can be blotted out. That is, because they were not in God's original thought. They were not in God's attribute, but rather they were in the program of God, in the thoughts that he had to carry out his goal. See? And now, just as we remove the scaffolds and the concrete molds and all those things from a building, God will remove all that is temporary, and that which is eternal will remain, the attributes of God. See the work of the reaping angels? He comes to bring the separation, the segregation between right and wrong. What will the angel leave? Because he says there that the angel is the only one that knows. The one who says that they know nothing. They're lying. Because the only one that knows is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In other words, that angel, who is the angel of the covenant, is the Holy Spirit. Here on page 141, paragraph 1260, notice in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days till he didn't do. He could not depend on some certain church to separate them, say, the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostals, to separate them. He said, he sends his angels to separate them. In other words, that is the ministry of Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. In other words, it is the ministry of a prophet, the Holy Spirit operating those ministries in him to carry out that work. And it is in the claiming work where all that is carried out. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between right and wrong. In other words, notice, he takes out their scaffolds, there he takes out plywoods, he takes out buckets, shovels, and all those things that don't go in there, in that construction. He takes them out, the debris and everything that is not attribute-like. In other words, everything that is not an attribute of God. In this case, everything that was not in the blueprint. Because in the blueprint, you're not going to see scaffolds or things there in the blueprint. Rather, you see the construction, how from stage to stage you go through the pages. In the end, you see the building, but you never see the scaffolds and the plywoods and the jacks and everything belonging to a construction. That does not appear there. That is used to carry out that work and then is removed. The segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. In other words, no one else can do it. He is the one that is going to tell who? Him. In other words, someone can't come along and say, no, but this is not this way, this isn't that way. Well, he's very wrong. If he's not the messenger where those ministries are operating, the Holy Spirit operating those ministries of Moses and Elijah, then he should remain silent. The words that he speaks are not true words. They do not come from God. The one that is going to tell which is right and which is wrong. God said he will send his angels at the last time. Not angels down through here, that is through the ages, but angels at the last time, and would gather together. Notice, it's also a harvesting time. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. Notice, it is the ministry of Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. It is the angel who comes with the seal of the living God with the Holy Spirit. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. And we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches. And now, no, through the church ages. Now, that is what he's telling us here. Notice, in this message, we will be watching in a few minutes where he spoke there. And now, just as we remove the scaffolds, the concrete molds, and all those things from a building, God will remove all that is temporary, and that which is eternal will remain, the attributes of God. Now, further on, look at something very important here, he says. We find that there is wheat, but there is also tares. But God already knew all of that. Of course he knew it. It was all close together there. But a work is being carried out. Those scaffolds, those plywoods were needed to carry out that work. Therefore, all these things are within God's program. They are things that are eternal and they are things that are temporary. Therefore, it is important to know where or which thing we come from. Whether the temporary or the eternal. In other words, either you are a scaffold or a plywood, or you are part of that which is eternal, of the building which was built. And there is where the angel comes to make that separation. That is why that at the end, notice, that work, that separation is carried out. And although many works for years, where are they now? See, they do not belong to the eternal. They are not part of the eternal, of the attributes of God, and they are removed, just like the scaffolds and the plywoods are removed, and so on. Now you identify what you are, part of the temporary or of those that are eternal. We are part of those things that are eternal, whom are seeing the fulfillment of what God promised, and we are preparing ourselves to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, in the one we were reading, already finishing this part here, on the message, the creation of a new man, he says, and at the end of time, all things that are written that Christ, the Holy Spirit, will do, he will be doing them through his angel, the angel who ascends with the seal of the living God. And he won't be a man, but the one who will be in that man, in that angel messenger, In other words, it will not be the work of that man, but the one who will be, he says, in that man, in that angel messenger. In other words, the works which God is doing today, because this already has fulfillment. The works which that man is doing today are the works of the one who is inside that man, of the Holy Spirit, who said that he would be incarnate in the midst of his people, thus giving the revelation of the seventh seal, the revelation of the second coming of the Lord. God's
and also composed some hymns.
With us, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.